Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Rich Weber, Chief Pilot for the Jacksonville Sheriff's Aviation Unit and aviation speaker from Jacksonville, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Rich Weber, your host for Managing Safety. And today I'm speaking with Brian Smith. He's the Safety Program Manager for Airborne Law Enforcement Association. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Richard.
Welcome to the show. I appreciate you talking with us a little bit today. Like I mentioned, that Brian's the Safety Program Manager for Airborne Law Enforcement Association. Could you also give us a little bit more background about yourself?
I'm also a pilot for the Lee County Sheriff's Office down in Fort Myers, Florida. And I've been here for only about 4 years. I was previously a pilot for the Gainesville Police Department, also in Florida.
Great. I know that you've been around for a while. As I know, Brian and I are friends. We've been colleagues for quite some time through the Airborne Law Enforcement Association. And Brian, now that you've been a safety program manager for a while now, what's on the horizon? What's coming up? I know you're going to be attending Heli Expo.
Yeah, that's right. We've got Heli Expo coming up, which we're going to be presenting along with International Helicopter Safety Team, a number of classes and workshops Monday through Wednesday of that week. I think it's the 4th, 5th, and 6th, if I remember right.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So that's going to be, of course, promoting some safety for the helicopter industry. And so you're also on the board for the International Helicopters Association, is right? Safety team, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm currently serving on the committee for the safety management systems, and that actually works out well with the Airborne Law Enforcement Association because a lot of the same goals on that committee to bring safety management systems to the small and private operators mirror the operations that we have for the most part in airborne law enforcement.
Yeah, you know, I believe it's correct to say that there are some large helicopter operators out there in the industry, but there's the majority of the operators are all smaller, you know, 2, 3, 4 ship operators. Would you not say that's a correct statement?
That's true. In airborne law enforcement specifically, most of our operators have 2 to 3 aircraft, the majority of them being helicopters, but there are a large number of fixed-wing operators. And then, as we are in Lee County, we operate both rotorcraft and fixed-wing. And that also mirrors the commercial side and obviously the private side. Most private operators have 1, maybe 2 aircraft of their own.
Good. So so with the joint effort with the Airborne Law Enforcement Association and providing the members of that, the SMS, the safety management systems, and just the general safety practices to help make all the, you know, the police pilot organizations safer. It also, you reach out through the International Helicopter Safety Team, providing, you know, more safety and everything for not only the large operators, but smaller operators as well.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, there's a lot of new great safety systems and safety protocols and tools that are out there that have developed over the past, you know, 10 years with these safety management systems. Unfortunately, the initial development and implementation of a lot of that stuff required big money or required a certain investment in personnel and time that a smaller operator just doesn't have. And that's also amplified by a private operator who, you know, a guy who has his own Cessna 172 or his own Robinson R-22, they don't have the time and money that a big operation with 20, 30, 50 aircraft can put into safety. So it's a shame that a lot of those really great new safety tools are not available to the small operator because we all face the same sorts of risks when we go out and fly. You know, an aircraft can fail. The aircraft doesn't care if it's being operated by somebody who has 2 helicopters or 50 airplanes. it's going to be those same risks. So now's the time to try and scale down all of that stuff and find ways, and there's tweaking that needs to be done so it's readily available to the small operator, and also economical. And we want to present it and make it in a way that it doesn't cripple the operation. You know, in the past, safety systems and safety tools get kind of a bad name from operators because they see it as something that limits their ability to operate. And we think if these new tools and techniques are used correctly, it can actually allow a small or private operator to do more because they will understand the risks that are out there and be able to mitigate them, be able to do something about it, so they can go out and perform more missions and not less.
And try to minimize their expense, if you will, as far as trying to meet these standards of the SMS and some of the safety protocol that may really kind of put a hindrance on their operation, which would then, in fact, make it harder for them to go out and complete the same task and try to stay afloat, if you will, for the missions that need to be done and to somehow try to make somewhat of a profit to stay above water.
Absolutely. And with the recent economic times, a lot of commercial operators are out there with a very small profit margin and sometimes with none at all. And a private guy, having your own aircraft is a fantastic way of life, a fantastic investment, but it comes at significant cost. And we don't want safety to be an added burden onto that. We want safety to amplify this industry and help this industry along. So it has to be done in a way where that economic impact is minimized.
Mm-hmm. To kind of help also, because there has been, the International Helicopter Safety Team had a 10-year goal, correct me on this if I'm off on the numbers, but would they have a 10-year goal to try to reduce helicopter accidents by a certain percentage or a certain number? Isn't that what it was?
Yes, it was by 80%. I think the initial goal was at 2016. And what we've seen from the analysis of the accident trend since that effort was started is that the industry has been very successful in lowering the accident rate significantly, but within the medium to large size operators, where they're able to buy and implement safety systems, health usage monitoring systems, the HUMS that's coming out. And a lot of these really fantastic new safety tools that unfortunately also happen to cost a lot of money and take a lot of personnel investment to operate, to continue to meet that goal and make that 80% decrease, that same decrease in accidents has to occur in the small commercial operators and the private operators. And right now, to implement anything safety-wise is completely voluntary in those areas. And that's where some of the challenges come in.
The challenges in regards to how?
Challenges in regards to changing the culture, changing the safety culture, and getting people to learn about and understand these safety tools and systems and how to implement it. And go ahead.
That's what I was just retouching that. So basically trying to get some of these operators to implement the safety programs because they've kind of maybe old school, if you will, and they are maybe a little bit resistant to this and to the change. But if they would be willing to implement some of the safety management systems and programs and some of the help that's out there, that would make them a safer operator, reduce the risk and accident rate, and would be beneficial to them in the long run. Is kind of where you're going with that?
Absolutely. You know, and as anyone involved in the aviation industry for more than 2 days has heard, there's no new ways to crash an aircraft. There's no new ways to bend metal. And that's true, and I agree with that. But I'd like to add on to that, there are new ways to keep people from crashing aircraft. And that's where we need to get that focus and try and take safety to the next step.
Absolutely, because it is critical. It's because even though we have so much more modern technology with aircraft systems and avionics and upgraded avionics and more technology and training even for the A&P mechanics that work on the aircraft and all the things that are so much more modern than they were, say, even 20 years ago. We're still crashing aircraft, unfortunately, and that's where then the strive is and the goal to improve this and reduce the accident rate and the incident rate through some of the things that you've mentioned.
That's what we're hoping to accomplish.
Well, that's great. So it's really good that you're covering the law enforcement side as well as the International Helicopter Safety Team, because it's not just law enforcement, it's not just EMS, it's all operators in the helicopter industry that are sometimes subject to the incidents and accidents, mostly that we're trying to reduce.
There's a lot of similar incidents, a lot of similar data out there, in when any small portion of the industry finds a good way to address that risk, to address that individual problem, it can usually benefit the industry in general. Often the problem is getting word out there and communicating that new technique or that new information is there, which is why it's so critical to have things like what we're doing today, to get out to the rest of the community. Hey, this is out there. This is available. Please use it, because it helped us in, say, the EMS area, can help law enforcement, can help military, can help offshore, and it's just a matter of communicating this stuff in between the individual portions of the community.
Yeah, I'm getting it out there, and just as well as the some of the different areas, it's also not only safety management systems, but also even, as we know, training and I guess educating operators that how important training is and recurrency training and staying on top of these things. And you might even explain, if you would, just a little bit about the Airborne Law Enforcement Association and how some of the efforts that ALEA does for its members with the regional seminars.
Sure. ALEA holds 6 regional seminars every year, and attendance at the seminar is free to any ALEA member. Membership is really not that much per year. I think it's $35 now. I could be wrong. So for that, you can attend not only the regional seminar in your area, but all 6 of them across the country if you care to go. And those events usually are a day and a half of the scheduled classes where we have people come in and talk about safety-related topics. We've added, over the past year and a half, an extra day onto the beginning of that, like a pre-seminar roundtable discussions, and give everybody coming to that seminar an opportunity to sit around and discuss some of the issues that they're having in their individual units and bounce ideas off of each other. Which has been very beneficial, because in the past, even though the classes are good and the instructors, I think, give great material, often we miss out on the collective experience of all the people attending that in the room. You know, the guy sitting right next to you may have found a great way to deal with a risk that your unit is still trying to deal with, and it's just a matter of getting that information from them. So these roundtable discussions we found to be very beneficial to people who are coming to their regional safety seminars.
Absolutely. It's just a wealth of information and communicating between members and organizations within even just the Airborne Law Enforcement Association of itself, to get that word passed around for all the other law enforcement, you know, pilot agencies to help with some of their, maybe if they're having struggling with a certain type of mission that they do, whether it be SWAT team rappelling or dive team deployment or just patrol flights, et cetera. This way kind of gives them more, put more heads together for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we said before, there's a lot of commonality across the industry with the different segments of the helicopter or aviation business in general. There's also a lot of unique, specific aspects of each industry, and law enforcement is rich with that. There's a lot of things that we do operationally and tactically, and and even as pilots that you just don't do in any other aspect of the aviation community. And really the only way to advance that is to sit around with some guys who are doing the same kind of work and bounce those ideas off. And sometimes it's eye-opening, something that will just be said off the cuff by somebody else doing the same job in another continent. And one little tidbit of information from them can completely change the way a guy does business on the other side of the planet in a positive and significant manner.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great thing, and the regional seminars are once again a good time for all these, you know, the different operators in that local region to get together and share this information. And like you said, then anybody that's an ALE member can attend the other regional seminars as well. And there's a vast amount of wealth that's shared there, and different training topics that are presented depending upon which seminar you go to. And then, of course, then there's the annual seminar, the annual, I guess you would say, conference then once a year as well, and which entails even more training provided and information sharing and safety discussions, correct?
That's correct. And ALEA has their annual conference. This year it'll be in Orlando in July. And that is just all of the regional seminars amplified 100 times, in addition to the conference classes that are available to anyone attending the conference. There's also a number of pre-conference courses that people can go to. Now, that's a paid course, but several of them you receive certificates and advanced training in different aspects of the program. And I think it's also significant when we talked about HAI in March at the beginning of the phone call, and they've also added some extra safety classes this year, which I think is a great initiative by HAI to add what they're calling the Safety Challenge courses, which will be covering,
yep,
I think the first 3 days are all safety. It's at least,
absolutely,
the first day. I'm not sure which ones are.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely. And everyone can get on the Rotor.com website and look at the Rotor Safety Challenge schedule, because you're right, they are short courses. They're about an hour in length, and there are different topics that people can attend and listen in on, and a wealth of information, whether it be pilot-oriented, maintenance-oriented, program manager or unit commander, or what, you know, oriented for the managers of these operations. And so there's a different categories, and then a vast amount of training topics within those and presentations, and they're all free to, you know, for anyone attending the Heli Expo put on by HAI, which is the Helicopter Association International. So yes, you're right. That is another a great avenue that's going to be presented this year at Heli Expo. Heli Expo then is in March, and it is in Las Vegas this year. So that ought to attract a lot of HAI members, I would think.
I would imagine so. Yes.
Good. Well, Brian, I really appreciate you talking with us today. And like I said, everyone, this is we've been speaking with Brian Smith. He's the Safety Program Manager for Airborne Law Enforcement Association. And, Brian, if it's all right with you, I will catch up with you at Heli Expo, and that way you can kind of give everybody an update of what all has been going on at Heli Expo on your end and what you've seen and some of the exciting highlights that you could pass on with us.
I look forward to that, Richard.
Good, good. Well, thanks again. And this is Rich Weber, your host for Managing Safety. But tune in with us again soon, and we'll be talking to Brian again soon. And y'all take care.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.